Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, and we don't vote for executive office occupants. That's right. I've turned in my ballot, and I did not. Well, I did vote. I wrote in a couple of friends of mine. I wrote in Larry Kilgore and Rich Huxford. And I could go in either order. One could be the president or the vice president. I just put Larry first because L comes before R in that. So I don't think I've voted for a major party candidate since I voted for George H.W. Bush in 1988 was my first vote. And I just voted for whoever the sergeant in charge of my squadron said I was supposed to vote for. Obviously the Republican. What are you, a fag? So you voted for the Republican, so... Since then, I do not believe I've voted for a major party candidate for president. I don't think so. And if I did, I repent. I'm sorry. All right. So, but before we get started, a little housekeeping. I want to remind everyone about daylight savings time. If you forgot about daylight savings time, it's an hour later than you think it is. Wait, or maybe it's an hour earlier. Actually, I've forgotten. It was kind of confusing this morning. So if you have forgotten about it, I'm here to remind you. Do with it what you will. I'm not sure what to do. All right. I just know it's going to be dark at 5 o'clock. That's the one thing I'm sure of. So there, we've helped everyone with the reminder about daylight savings. Daylight savings actually ended is what happened, right? Yeah. By the time you listen to this, if you're still not aware, you're probably doing better than me. You're keeping all the weirdness out of your life, and you're not watching TV or listening to radio, going on the internet, and you're not interacting with other people, and you're probably doing just fine. Probably just happy as a bug. All right, now, so from there, where do we go? We are on the eve of the most important election in all of galactic history. Through. Not just this galaxy, by the way, all galaxies throughout all history. This is the most. And so why don't we start in the Death by Democracy file, where a sheriff in Michigan claims that he has been referring suspected electoral crimes to Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton since 2020. The sheriff's name is Dar Leaf. His first name is Dar, D-A-R. His last name is Leaf, like on a tree. Dar Leaf, sheriff, he's the Barry County Sheriff in Michigan. He says he's been submitting irregularities and alleged criminal acts related to the election since 2020 to Ken Paxton in Texas. And he claims that the attorney general in Texas has opened a criminal investigation related to Dominion voting systems, election systems and software, Hart, InterCivic, and SolarWinds, including specific subcontractors, agents, and employees. If you don't recognize all those names, those are all the names that were associated with all the cheating and the stealing of the 2020 election. Yeah, Dominion, of course, is sitting with about $1 billion ready to sue anyone. And allegedly, now we haven't heard from Ken Paxton whether or not this is true. All we have is a small town sheriff in Michigan who claims he's been saving the receipts since 2020. And for whatever reason, he has not sent them to the attorney general in Michigan. I'm assuming because the attorney general in Michigan is probably a communist or he's a part of the criminally insane sex cult that sees the government and the sheriff there can't trust him, or this sheriff is just out of his mind. Quite, You know, like the lady in Colorado, in Mesa County, Colorado, the 69-year-old woman who allegedly did something allegedly bad. And so she's such a threat to society that they threw her in prison for 9 years. Because she was crazy, of course. Anyway, and so we haven't heard from Ken Paxton, and we have not yet heard from Dominion Voting Systems. We assume they will file suit against Sheriff Darleaf on Monday morning. And so we'll keep updated on that. That's from the Death by Democracy file. And from there, we go into the politics file, where up in Washington, D.C., a reporter was tooling around Washington, D.C. near the White House, and he happened to have a camera, because everybody's got a camera all the time. And he whipped out his camera, and he started shooting video, and it showed workers in hard hats and orange vests boarding up government buildings and retail stores with plywood. And he said, it looks like it looks when a hurricane is coming in Washington, D.C., close to the... And so nobody's really sure. Is it the election? Are they preparing for civil unrest? Or is this just business as usual? Going into a weekend in Washington, D.C., they tend to board up and hardly anybody even notices it anymore. It's just... What do you want, broken windows on Monday morning? No, you have to board up over the weekend. All right, well, so they are boarding up there in D.C. And Dominion Voting Systems is lawyering up. And the Democrat National Committee is lawyering up. And the Republican Senatorial Campaign Committee is lawyering up. And it's going to be an interesting, I think it's going to be an interesting couple of months, actually. I know. Maybe I've lost my mind, but I'm actually more concerned about the next 2 months right now than I ever was about any 2 months during the coronavirus pandemic hysteria. I'm more concerned about, well, I don't know, maybe during the big flinch there in the summer of 2020, that might have been a little nerve-wracking, where you thought, you know, maybe the pillars of society are actually coming all down. There may have been moments during that when I was as concerned as I am now. But I'm probably just paranoid, and everything's going to be fine. In fact, so I have a question, though. So for anyone who's paying attention to the election, if there's anyone who's into it, you know, I just want... If Donald J. Trump could not overcome the powers that be as the president, when they stole the election, obviously, in broad daylight, in front of God and everybody, with no shame. Remember that, how they did that? And it was so obvious to anyone willing to speak the truth? If Trump couldn't overcome the powers that be then as the president, what makes you think he can do it as a private citizen? Okay, well, I'll come back to that, because I have to report on my conversation with a hysterical Democrat voter. I'll come back to that. But I want to touch on the story that I'm convinced will resonate the most with the electorate through Election Day. I mean, unless they actually kill Trump. If they shoot his plane out of the sky, all bets are off. Okay, I want to put that caveat out there. Unless they kill Trump, this is the story that will resonate the most with the most people through Election Day, and it is the killing of Peanut the Squirrel. Have you heard about this story? He asked his extremely attractive audio engineer. You know? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Peanut the Squirrel was rescued by one Mark Longo, just your average guy living out in Connecticut. Longo saw the squirrel's mom get run over by a car, and Peanut was injured. And so Mark Longo rescued the squirrel. He brought the squirrel back to health, and then he released the squirrel into the wild, but the squirrel would not leave. The squirrel, through its injuries and being fed, became domesticated, ended up staying with Longo. So Longo adopts the squirrel as a pet, and he names him Peanut. And that because of that, Longo ends up moving out of Connecticut, moves to upstate New York, and starts basically a rescue farm for animals that are sick and injured and unwanted. And now he's got, I don't know, a few hundred animals, horses, you name it. The guy's got a farm in upstate New York where he takes in unwanted, sick, injured, deformed animals. So seems like, you know, seems like an all right guy. Well, last week, Peanut and Fred the raccoon were seized by the New York Department of Environmental Conservation after multiple anonymous complaints about wild animals living in the Longo house. The 7-year-old gray squirrel, who is something of a social media star on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Longo basically funds his animal rescue farm by shooting videos with this squirrel doing funny stuff. So, right? I mean, maybe he's not advancing Western civilization to the next great achievement, but at least he's not robbing banks and breaking windows. And I mean, he's taking care of animals and he's making a scraping by on social media. He's an engineer by trade, I guess. Well, his farm, wild animals living in his house. The guy lives on a farm with an actual red barn and a silo and the whole getup. Wild animals. That's what I ask. Who's complaining? And they force Longo and his wife to sit outside the house while they search the house, ransack the place, basically. Searching for, well, nobody's quite sure what, but they found the squirrel and they found Fred the raccoon and they confiscated them. And by the time Longo and his wife figured out what was going on, the state had executed the prisoners, Peanut the squirrel and Fred the raccoon. And why did they kill them? Well, the department claims that the animals bit an agent. Oh, wait, and then they bit another agent. When they were first asked, what happened? Well, they bit someone. And then later on, it turns out they bit two people. And now they haven't named who got bit, and they haven't shown any photographs of the bite marks. But the animals have been, according to the mainstream media, they've been euthanized. And according to anyone with half a brain, they were killed by a bunch of maniacal, jackbooted stormtroopers, basically. Sicked on this couple because, well, who knows why. Probably because they're relatively normal people. And living in New York State, being relatively normal means your neighbors probably hate you. Because you remind them of relatively normal things. And deviant perverts hate to be reminded about things that are relatively normal. You can see that in the Trump derangement syndrome. I'll get to some of that later. But so anyway, the reason I wanted to do this story right now is because, number one, it's going to be the number one story in the world going into the American election. Just because of the way it's been covered and who's who and who's claiming. And as far as I know, the guy hasn't come out with a MAGA hat on or doesn't have a Kamala Walls sign in his yard. Nobody knows anything about the guy. It's just that he looks relatively normal. And so people can relate to the guy, and everybody likes the story of a pet squirrel who, his mom died and he rescued. I mean, it's a heartwarming story. And for it to end this way, at the hands of the jackbooted state, well, everyone can relate, okay? But with everything that is really important being processed through this election cycle, everything from what's right and wrong to who will be killed, who will not be killed, who will be protected and who will be allowed to be murdered, all that is being processed like through a sausage grinder through this election. But it's this story that will resonate the most with the average person, which is why we should not allow the average person to vote for who rules. We should not allow the average person to vote on who dictates right and wrong and who enforces the law. No, I'm sorry. Okay, so when I voted, by the way, I did not vote for any senator or any congressman or any president. Anybody who wants that, you're automatically disqualified. If you want it, you shouldn't have it. so I won't vote for you. I voted against every tax increase, and I voted. We had an election for the fire chief or something like that, and there was an ex-fireman guy, and there was a lawyer girl, and so I voted for the ex-fireman guy. And I didn't ask if he was pro-choice or pro-life, because if all you're doing is trying to manage and prevent fires, that doesn't really matter. You're not administering justice. You're just trying to put out fires. And so I'll go with the ex-fireman guy rather than the lawyer girl. A lawyer girl running for fire chief. It's like, are you out of your mind? So anyway, what else do... Oh, another reason that I wanted to get to the story about Peanut the Squirrel. This is a picture of the nanny state empowered by the snitch culture of a citizenry that has been put and turned against each other since the mid-1960s when one side started killing babies and another side started being offended by it. That was the lighting of a fuse. People wonder, why are we so divided? Well, do you have to be so divided? Can't we have unity? No, we can't have unity. When one side wants to murder innocent people and the other side is offended by that to the point where we want to stop it, and if we had any testosterone left, we'd want to fight about it. But the snitch culture has now been amplified since the COVID pandemic hysteria flip-out. And now you have basically on the eve of an election an entire citizenry that really just can't stand each other anymore. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney, as we approach whatever's coming. I mentioned the boarding up in Washington, D.C. Who do you think will be more violent after the election winner is announced? I guess that depends on who's announced as the winner. So I've been reading articles that Antifa and Black Lives Matter and Occupy and all of the Marxist street soldiers are being prepared. That I would believe. And then I've read articles and talked to people who think that there are a bunch of rednecks who are going to mount machine guns to their pickup trucks and go around shooting innocent women if Donald Trump is not declared the winner. See, I have a feeling the rednecks are a little too distracted by their THC, video games, Bud Light, sports, entertainment, and pornography. On the normal American side, that type of thing doesn't fuel riots in the street. It prevents riots in the street. On the left, you know, you add some amphetamines and Adderall and mental derangement to that, and it fuels it. Anyway, I'm going to guess that if there is violence, and I do believe there is going to be violence, I'm concerned that there will be, that it will be the left that burns, smashes, breaks, and murders. Maybe even Donald Trump himself. Maybe. Which is disturbing. All right, so there's more political, let's see. Oh, I got this from the politics file. This is ironic. If you're wondering what irony is, follow this story. Because the state of Colorado threw a 69-year-old woman in jail for 9 years for allegedly exposing top secret election data that could take our democracy. So they throw this old lady in jail because she documented the stealing of the election. And how they managed to fudge whatever it was she had, I don't know all that, because these are dark forces. These are the powers that be. They have the levers of power in the government. So they can get away with a lot of stuff. Whatever they did to that lady. Anyway, so then this past week, the Colorado Secretary of State inadvertently posted a spreadsheet that included voting system passwords. Oh, really? Yes. Oh, no. That's not good. That's right. The Colorado Secretary of State. Do I even have her name here? She looks like she's 16 years old. She's a child. And she's the Secretary of State in the state of Colorado. I couldn't believe it. So, and I don't have her name here. And I wish I did. I believe her last name is Griswold. Is it Molly Griswold? I can't remember. But she looks like, if you ever saw The Breakfast Club, she looks like the girl who was always falling asleep, looked like she was on heroin. She looks like that girl. And she's the Secretary of State. So she published all the passwords to all of Colorado's electronic voting for months. They've been sitting out there online where people could access all these passwords. And then she got caught. Oh, no, it was inadvertent. It was an accident. Did I say she got caught? That's not what I meant. Obviously, Nine News is reporting that it was an accident. In fact, a spokesperson for the Colorado Secretary of State's office, a spokesperson for the office, you know what that means? Nobody was willing to attach their name to what's about to be said. They say the department is working to remedy this situation where necessary. Where necessary? Well, I think where necessary is where the passwords are available to anybody who can get online. How about that? And of course, they say the department took immediate action. As soon as it was aware of this. As soon as it was aware of this. This is a wonderfully crafted statement. And the office informed the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, which closely monitors and protects essential security infrastructure. And so here we have a statement by the office of the secretary saying it was aware of this and it did that. And we told the CISA. Throw a bit of jargon in there just in case anybody's paying attention. What you have here is a meaningless pile of words by a bunch of criminals caught in the act, just hoping to buy enough time so that some other event changes the subject, maybe even the assassination of the leading Republican candidate for president. Would Molly Ringwald, Griswold, whatever her name is there in Colorado, would she be freaked out if Donald Trump was assassinated? No, it would make her day. I know that you think that's hyperbole to think that the Secretary of State of Colorado would be pleased to see Donald Trump killed. She would be. She's checking her news feed every 15 minutes, it's hoping for that or something equally as earth shattering, because this girl, Molly Ringwald, Griswold, whatever her name is, she is going to have to resign. Because, so I saw the Nine News reporter, and by the way, I watched the news in Colorado for 30 years. They're a bunch of sold-out, communist, empty suits who'll say anything that they're commanded to say by the powers that be, as long as they're allowed to get their prescription drugs and kill their babies. That's all the news people in Colorado, as long as they can get their drugs and kill their babies, they'll say anything. Oh, and get their paycheck. And go to the nice restaurants and buy their legal marijuana. That's all they care about. All the news people in Colorado, bunch of communist mannequins. Well, I saw one of them actually get his back up a little bit. It was almost as if someone had injected him with testosterone for 5 seconds. And he actually asked Molly Ringwald Griswold if she was going to resign. And Molly laughed and she was half cross-eyed. She looked wasted. It was shocking to see a male reporter on the network news in Colorado actually express masculinity toward a female. That hasn't happened in 20 years. And so I'm telling you, this chick is going to have. Did I say this chick? I don't mean to sound sexist. This girl's going to have to resign. I told you I nailed peak woke with the Harvard girl. And just being a girl, you're not going to be able to get away with this anymore. We're all getting just about sick of it. Just because you're black or a girl doesn't mean you're allowed to be incompetent and a criminal. And I know it has meant that you have been able to for many years, but we're coming to the end of all that. I hope. All right, so hopefully we have a the over under on Molly Ringwald is November 10th. She'll have to resign. We hope. All right, now from there we go to the retail religion file, where we check in with Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump. That's right. Todd Starnes reports that Tucker Carlson interviewed Donald Trump, and Tucker said to Don, "So, you said, Don, that you were saved in the end by an angel," referring to the gunshot that missed. Well, it didn't miss. It actually hit him. It just didn't hit any vital organs. He says you were saved by an angel. Have your views about God changed after getting shot? Says Tucker to Donald Trump. And I know I'm on the right, and these guys are considered to be on the right, but you can't throw up a bigger softball than that. You were saved by an angel, obviously. So we know God loves you. How has your attitude about God changed after being shot? And Trump responded, "Well, I've always been a believer. But I wouldn't say, you know, there's a certain pastor, Robert Jeffress, certain pastor, and he said, you know, Trump is the one who's going to take us to the promised land. I have unbelievable evangelical and Christian support because I've done a great job for them. And we're together." That's Don and the evangelicals. They're all together. And Robert Jeffress is the glue that holds them all together. And then Don went on about Jeffress' analysis of Donald Trump's spiritual state. And apparently Jeffress said, quote, "You know, he said he may not know the Bible as well as other people are supposed to, but they picked Ronald Reagan over Jimmy Carter." Reagan, he wasn't quite as religious, but he's the guy that's got to go and get the job done. And then Trump went on and he said this. He said, "God, I did a great job with a lot of things having to do with saving religion. Because these people, Harris, Waltz, Biden, these people want to put religion out of business." And Trump knows. Trump knows religion is big business, and he wants to keep religion in business. Why? Because religion is good for business. Especially the business of electing Donald Trump, which is an important business. It is the business at hand, after all. And then I don't want to be blasphemous, because, I mean, reporting on Donald Trump as his candidacy relates to the Creator God and Jesus Christ and the Savior of the world, you could get into blasphemy just trying to report on what's being said. And so I want to disavow what I'm about to read. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a froth at the mouth, leftist, communist, baby killer, promoter of everything immoral and ungodly for his entire life. And so he's the darling of the conservative right now. RFK says that he has asked God every day in prayer for 19 years. For 19 years, every day. He's a very pious man. That's right. On Good Friday, on Ash Wednesday, he puts the splotch on his forehead. Goes all day. Even when the cameras are running, he's got the splotch of the smooch there on his forehead. He's a very pious man, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And he says he's asked God in prayer for 19 years every day to be put in a position to end chronic illness in America. And this year, Robert F. Kennedy says, God sent me Donald Trump.
It's the Weekly Worldview. And we're back. That's right. And seeing as I was just reporting on the blasphemous content being vomited out by just about everyone around this election, I want to go to the Strange Religion file and check in again with Tucker Carlson, who he was asked in an interview by John Hears, who I'm not familiar with, but I'm sure he's a great guy. And the fact that I don't know who he is, it doesn't mean anything. So he doesn't know who I am either. God knows who I am. Jesus Christ knows who I am. Does he know who John Hears is? That's what really matters. Doesn't matter what I think of John. But John asked Tucker Carlson in an interview if Tucker thought, quote, the presence of evil is kickstarting people to wonder about the good, unquote. Tucker answered, yes, John, that's what happened to me. I had a direct experience. I, Tucker Carlson, got attacked while I was asleep by a demon. I was attacked by a demon while I was asleep in bed with my wife and four dogs. The demons physically mauled me.
Oh, wow.
Says Tucker Carlson. Here's asks, a demon? And Tucker responds, yeah, a demon. Now, Tucker was in bed asleep with his wife and four dogs, and Tucker's certain that it wasn't like bad Chinese food and four dogs in the bed is how he woke up with a scratch and some blood on his pillow. Tucker is certain that he was mauled by a demon. So anyway, so if you eat a lot of, if you eat some bad Chinese food and you go to bed, if you lay down with the dogs, you might wake up with a scratch. And it's quite possible that in a dreamlike state, you might perceive that you're being mauled by a demon. And you might even provoke the dogs to bite you because they're like, cut it out, man. You're freaking out. Uh-huh. But no, Tucker says he was attacked by a demon, and that's why he's turned to God.
Why is he so special?
So that's, well, the demons know that Tucker is leading he's leading the charge for the people who are going to save America. And so the demons are focused. I wouldn't be surprised if this wasn't Satan himself. Satan himself, who actually put on some claws. She had some of those clawed gloves that you buy on Halloween, but these were real. This was probably Satan himself because, Tucker Carlson, you know, Tucker Carlson is A-list. And so when Tucker Carlson gets attacked by demons, he gets A-list attack from. It's either Satan or one of his top lieutenants. All right. So now, speaking of all that, since we're talking about the election, I want to. Well, I've already said that I'm as concerned as I've been since the big flinch in the summer of 2020 when the police let the rioters burn down the police station, and I thought, man, this is serious. This is really bad. We may not be able to come back from this. And a lot of people think we have come back. But I'm telling you, we're not back. And I have a feeling the next 2 months are going to indicate how far from back we are. And so the question is America going to get a revolution or a renaissance? I thought about this in a dream state. But now the demons, they're not even paying attention to me. They just let me sleep. I dream stuff up. But I was half between awake and asleep, and I had this cross my mind. Where does the word revolution come from? And so I thought about it in my dream state, and then I went and looked it up, and I pretty much figured it out because I have a rudimentary understanding of Latin and French and English and, you know, rudimentary. Revolution comes from revolve, which re means again, volve, again, around, a turning, a spinning. That's what I thought in my dreamlike state. And then when I looked it up in the dictionary, the first definition of revolution in physics, rotation. So I said a spinning, well, rotation. The third definition, motion of anything which brings it to the same point or state. So a coming around again, revolve, right? Coming around again. The sixth definition, in politics, a material or entire change in the constitution of government. Boom, right? That's what I was thinking when I went to sleep, right? As I'm wondering who's going to be chucking Molotov cocktails through the windows and windshields in the days following the election. That's what I was thinking about a revolution. Antifa in the street, Black Lives Matter, kicking indoors, scaring people. And then this one I didn't think of, the seventh definition of the term revolution in the dictionary, motion backward. Revolution, backward. Didn't know that, but that's prescient. Now, Renaissance, when I thought about the word Renaissance, where does Renaissance, re means again, naissance, renascent, again, nascent, a return to when you were new, right? Renaissance. And then the dictionary definition just talks about the Renaissance, you know, the historical period. But that's why they call it the Renaissance. It was Europe coming out of the Dark Ages, returning to back when they were new and things were good, or at least better. Renascent, Renaissance. So what are we going to get? We're going to get a Renaissance, or are we going to get a revolution? Well, there ain't no Renaissance man running. Okay, Kamala Harris, she's not a Renaissance man. No. She has no interest in turning America back to when God-fearing people founded the country and things were at least not as disgustingly vile and physically dangerous as they are now. She has no interest in that. She is the vile, physically dangerous, the cutting edge of all that. She's got the claws and the fangs, does Kamala Harris. And then Donald Trump, he's not a Renaissance man. No, he has no interest in any of that. Donald Trump is worse than Kamala Harris. Worse. He's worse. And if he wins the election, there will be a momentary satisfaction on the part of people who were just hoping for some sort of respite from the insanity that has engulfed the nation. But he's not a Renaissance man, and he's not going to give you a Renaissance. What you're going to get, I think, no matter what, with this election, is a revolution. And when the Beatles said you could have a revolution, and everything is going to be all right, that was a lie. Yeah, we would play that song, but we don't play the Beatles here. Anyway, that was a lie. Everything's not going to be all right. They were ignorant, drugged out children, and they were incorrect. Revolutions are not okay. But Doug, the American Revolution, it was great. That was back when we made America great for the first time. Well, that revolution did not make everything all right. From July 1776 to October 1781, there were 7 years of misery and bloodshed and war and turmoil. An economic catastrophe for the whole country. Everything was not all right. In fact, it wasn't until after 1815 that it was even certain that the country would not suffer a similar conflict and be conquered again by the British. So it wasn't all right. And then things did turn out okay for a while, at least in a carnal sense. But there's no Renaissance man running. In fact, if you want a Renaissance man, I want to recommend Jesus Christ. If you're looking for a Renaissance man, a man who wants to turn things back to when things were new and good, that's where you'll find it. You're not going to find it on Election Day with Donald Trump. You're not going to find it with Kamala Harris. None of them. If you're looking for a Renaissance man, there's he's written a fantastic book. A fantastic book that you can read. All right, so let's see now. Do I want to keep... I should do something else before... To get away from politics, let's go into the war file. I want to remind everyone that Boko Haram, who I started reporting on, I don't know, 10 years ago it seems like, they're still on the war path in Africa. They just slaughtered 40 troops in Chad, in the Lake Chad Basin last week. The government of Chad, which is a desperately poor, sad African country that's been propped up by guilty liberal welfare and communists and perverts and kidnappers, by the way, for 50 years. The government of Chad published a statement last week urging the international community to intensify its support and reinforce assistance in counterterrorism efforts. But what is America doing? America, the top executives for America are driving around in garbage trucks, flashing signs, and doing Saturday Night Live and making jokes. While in Chad, Boko Haram is on the warpath, and America should destroy Boko Haram. The fact that they're allowed to exist is proof of how weak we are, because they're a pimple. They're a pimple that we could just go in and I mean, if you want to find out if your new weapon systems work, you want to keep the troops sharp, it's people like Boko Haram that are good for that. They're good for target practice. And yes, we should, but we won't because we can't, because we're too busy doing whatever we're doing. The French embassy responded to the request of the president in Chad. The French embassy said, quote, France stands with Chad. Chad apparently is it's the last country in that region of Africa to actually host a military presence from France. French soldiers are actually there. But the government of Chad, it has been flirting with developing stronger ties to Russia. Why? Because Russia will test their new weapon systems on Boko Haram if given the opportunity. And they won't run away and wet themselves like the French troops. The French troops, they don't even know what to do. The leadership in Paris, they don't know what to tell the French troops to do. The French troops don't know what to do. And it's sad that you'd have to have a guy like Vladimir Putin go in there to take care of Boko Haram. That would just be embarrassing for those of us in the West. Thank you for that. Especially though, if you ever served in the military, you know that you want to be the ones who destroy Boko Haram. That's a banner you want to hang on your flagstaff there, but apparently we're not going to get that. All right, so I don't want to do the psychopathic Democrat voter woman that I talked to until after the break. So instead, let's do something not political as much. So while the people who want to administer justice are driving around in garbage trucks and taking pictures with, I don't know, one of them will take a picture with a squirrel here soon, or doing a late night sketch comedy. Here's what's happening in America. Dustin Caudill, back in 1994, when he was 15 years old, he confessed to murdering his mother and his 10-year-old brother. Now, the reporters at the Daily Mail and the editors at Breitbart say that he admitted to fatally shooting his mother. But that's not what he admitted to. He admitted to murdering her. Fatally shooting. What is that? All right. Anyway, so this guy confesses to murdering his mother and his brother. During interrogation, he told the police he just snapped. He said, my little brother started acting stupid. He started acting like a little brother, and I just snapped, and I killed him. And then when my mom came home later that evening, I shot her because I didn't want to get in trouble. He told the police this. So he was convicted back in the mid-90s. He served 27 years in prison. Now, he was 15 years old when he slaughtered his mother and his brother. Cold blood. Vicious. He served 27 years before being released in 2020. No doubt having to do with the coronavirus hysterical panic flip out. Empty out the jail so that the murderers don't die of the coronavirus, for crying out loud. So he got out of jail in 2020. 4 months later, he murdered two more people and burned down a house to cover his tracks. He murdered Blake France and Anthony Garrett. They were found with gunshot wounds inside a house that Caudill burned down. When the police arrested Caudill, he confessed to shooting the men. He confessed to setting the house on fire to conceal the crime and to stealing the men's wallets. And he's not really very embarrassed about it all, because he did the same thing with killing his mom and his brother 30 years ago. He went to jail for a little while and now he's out. And so he killed a couple of more people. And then listen to this. He's been charged. Listen to all the charges they've got him on this time. Last time it was murder. Two counts, his mother and his brother. Now it's arson in the first degree, two counts of murder, tampering with physical evidence, possession of a handgun by a convicted felon, robbery in the first degree, wanton endangerment in the first degree as well, just for good measure. And so here, Dustin Cadell is emblematic of America. Here's a man having given the industry of crime 27 years of his life and business. With all the charges, he'll continue funding the paychecks and the retirements and the vacations of DA office officials, penitentiary guards, the legislature. I mean, when it comes to the industry of crime in America, when it comes to the just us system, Dustin Cadell is a lifer. Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. So thank you for joining us. We are going to, I want to check in with you about a phone conversation I had with a typical baby boom female voter in America. So this woman, I was on a phone conversation with her. I did not bring up politics, but she started basically making a confession to me that she was terrified that if Donald Trump was elected, he would enslave her and all women. He's going to make women do what they don't want to do, no matter what they want to do. He's going to make them. She was borderline hysterical. I almost wanted to put a straitjacket on her, but I was on the phone with her. I just wanted to keep her from climbing out the window and jumping. So she said she's actually afraid Donald Trump would enslave her. And of course, she was referring to having the ability to kill her children. That's what she's worried about. And it's weird because she's 60 years old. And so all the kids she killed them long before Donald Trump ever came along. But, you know, she cares about other women and their kids because she's a good person. And so her concern is for other women and their children. She doesn't want those women enslaved by Donald Trump. Now, she didn't come right out and admit that she was hoping someone would assassinate Donald Trump. She didn't come right out and say that, but she did say that she never used to watch the news. She never used to check her N on her phone. It was what she called it. She said, I never used to check the N on my phone until they shot Donald Trump. And she said, now I check it every day. And she said, I don't want to say I'm looking for him to get shot. I'm just checking. And I'm like, all right. So you don't have to actually say, just. So basically, without saying it, she admitted to hoping someone would assassinate Donald Trump. And folks, when you have the average civilized white middle-aged woman in America who wants to see another person killed because she disagrees with them politically, I'm telling you that is very, very indicative of the fact that people are going to start being killed soon, and lots of them. Because this she's not like a maniac terrorist who's been radicalized by Hamas or ISIS. She's just your average middle-aged white voter woman. And she wants to kill this guy. Anyway, it's just it's scary is all. And then I tried to calm her down. I said, don't worry. I said, Donald Trump will never be allowed to set foot in the White House again. He'll never be allowed. She was like, how do you know? And I said, well, they basically destroyed the world in 2020 to get him out. I mean, obviously, if you've been paying attention for the last few months, they will kill him to keep him out. That's obvious now that they'll kill him to keep him out. And she was actually relieved. She was like, oh, thank you. I was like, okay, great. Well, at least she's off the ledge, I guess. Anyway, So we started talking about, anyway, somehow we started talking about Texas and Florida, and she said, oh, Texas and Florida are scary because there's no regulations there, and people do whatever they want. What? And I wanted to say, but didn't you just say that Donald Trump was going to make women do what they don't want, even no matter what they want? Don't you want people to do whatever they want? And I wanted to say, isn't it that you're a communist leftist maniac? Consumed with guilt over the children you've killed and the lives you've ruined through your selfishness? And all the unresolved sin in your life that's turning you crazy? Of course, I didn't get into all that. But I probably will after the election. She wanted me to touch base with her and make sure she hadn't slid her wrist and slid down into a warm tub. So, yeah, Texas and Florida are scary. And I told her, I said, you know what? Regulation, you're right. The free market needs regulation. You are absolutely right. And she said, yeah, I know, right? And I said, you know what's the best regulation? I said, the best regulation of the free market is the fear of God. And then I just stopped because, anyway, you could hear a pin drop. She didn't know what to say. She was a bit taken back by that. The fear of what? God? Mm-hmm. I said, who else can regulate the powers that be? Who can regulate the giant utilities and the mega corporations and the government? Who can regulate them? Only God. Only the fear of God can regulate them. They have too much power. Because she was freaking out. They have all this power. They have power. And I don't have any power. Everybody's got power. Anyway, she didn't know what to say to the fear of God thing. And then she realized at that point that I wasn't on her side. Because up until then, she thought she had found a fellow traveler. Because, you know, I try to be sensitive and I'm trying to be more sensitive with people. And it reminds me, by the way, I've been talking to a millennial who posts up on Facebook that Christians are supposed to stop sinning. And then when we discuss it, as best I can tell, he has no idea how. He's actually asking. He's actually saying, I know I need to stop sinning. I don't know how. Can someone help me? He just threw the question out there so that he could get the opinion of all the average morons who are about to vote for either Kamala Harris or Donald Trump. This guy's asking them, how do I stop sinning? You know what stops sin? There's only one thing that stops sin, and that's the cross. That's it. And if you don't understand what that means, don't throw that question out on Facebook to all the voters. That's not going to be of any value. If you don't know what it means that the cross stops sin, you need to grab a Bible, start with Romans, read through to Philemon, check out all the Old Testament references that Paul makes, because that'll kind of bring it all together. And then you need to just go online, and instead of trolling Facebook for advice on spirituality, which is just insanity, I tell you, the millennial generation, their parents should suffer a particular suffering in the next life for all the divorces and the kids that they ruined. It's obviously not unforgivable in the Christian sense. But it's just so horrible what you did. You selfish bunch of children. Destroying your kids' lives. Making your kids so confused that they can't figure out if they can even know anything. Because you ruined their life when they were 11 or 12 or whatever you did it. Anyway, it's despicable. So where was... Oh, yeah, grab a Bible, read Romans to Philemon, check the Old Testament references, and then... Go online or call me and ask me about some preachers who preach the grace of God, the cross, and the word of God rightly divided. And then once you find those preachers, which I'm one of them, you can listen to me. Once you find them, then shut up and listen. There you go. Because here's the thing. The Apostle Paul says that you can come to the knowledge of the truth. Not a knowledge of some truth, or not a knowledge of truth, or some knowledge of truth. Paul says, you can come to the knowledge of the truth. Not only does he say that you can come to the knowledge of the truth, he says that if you don't, you'll be to blame and you'll suffer loss and you'll suffer shame for not having come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, how did I get from a woman about to jump off a bridge to... Well, that's just the way it goes because I'm not really so much focused on the election. There are bigger fish to fry. For example, listen to this. Bill Gates, this is from the Creepy Religion file, where Bill Gates is a headliner. Bill Gates is concerned that people are going to become addicted to AI, and he says that humanity needs a new god to worship in the age of AI. He did a podcast interview with fellow woke billionaire Reid Hoffman. I know I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar with how it is Reid Hoffman bamboozled people out of his billions. Maybe similar to how Bill Gates bamboozled people out of billions of dollars by just being a liar and a salesman willing to tell the biggest lie and to rob his fellow co-workers. That's how Bill Gates made his billions, lying and robbing other people. They say he's a good businessman. Yeah, he's a smart businessman. All right, for whatever that's worth. Bill Gates is the epitome of the free market, unrestrained by the fear of God. So he does his interview with Reid Hoffman, whoever that is, and Gates acknowledged the tremendous potential of artificial intelligence. But he cautioned that the allure of these technologies could be so great that many people may become addicted to them, spending more time in virtual worlds than in the real world. You know, says Bill, you can almost... He says, how are we going to stay connected with each other? Not addicted to these things. AI will make video games look like nothing in terms of the attractiveness of spending time on them, unquote, said Bill Gates. So it sounds like Bill is like beta testing all this stuff. I mean, it sounds to me he's worried about himself. And so he says, you know, you can almost call it a new religion that we need. A new religion to help us not get addicted to whatever it is Bill's into, which seems really creepy. So instead of Bill Gates saying, wow, I've lost control of my appetites and I'm worried I'm going to become addicted and cut myself off from people and just become totally self-absorbed. And so instead of looking to the God that made him, he's looking for a new God because Bill Gates, I think he wants to apply for the job, which is really where most people are who won't submit to the actual God is that they want that job. And Bill Gates the only thing he doesn't have is a Nobel Prize, which, by the way, he really upset about that. That he hasn't been able to bribe and cajole people into giving him a Nobel Prize. And now that it's come out how creepy and weird and sick he is, now he's not going to get one. Yeah, because, you know, people are creeped out by him at this point. And you can only give people so many billions of dollars, but if you're that creepy, they're like, okay, yeah, sure, yeah, we'll do it, Bill, and then they won't, which he deserves all that. But even Bill Gates could be saved, so... all right, now from the Too Big to Jail file, you've heard of Too Big to Fail? This is Too Big to Jail. There is an organization in the United Nations called the World Bank. Are you familiar with the World Bank, he asked us? Extremely attractive. Well, you can bet it's a really big bank because it's the World Bank, which means there'd be a lot of money going through there, and there is. And according to Oxfam, which is a leftist, communist, socialist, to a bunch of child molesting perverts, they audited the World Bank's climate change fund. So you got a bunch of leftist communists auditing the World Bank's climate change funds, and the communists say that there's $41 billion missing, at least. And listen to how Legal Insurrection reports this. Bungling World Bank bureaucrats lost track of at least $24 billion. Why would you assume they were bungling? Oh, maybe that's what Oxfam said. I don't want to disparage legal insurrection. Bungling World Bank bureaucrats lost track of $24 billion, according to the investigation by Oxfam. Oxfam cited poor record-keeping practices that resulted in anywhere between $24 and $41 billion in missing funds. One person who spoke on condition of anonymity suggested the figure could be twice that much or 10 times that much. Because all the figures are routinely made up, according to the source. He says nobody has a clue about who spends what at the World Bank because... Since so the oddball accounting practices and the bungling, typically those would be charged as criminal charge thefts, yeah, larceny, grand larceny, mega grand larceny. If you applied the bungling and the oddball accounting practices in the normal business world, they would be being arrested. And they'd be charged, and they would be going on trial. But up at the World Bank, being a leftist means never having to say you're sorry. And so they've spent quite possibly $400 billion. Nobody knows where any of it went. The climate is still in a crisis, obviously. And the World Bank is... Okay. Let's see. The guys at Legal Insurrection say the World Bank is an international... financial institution established in 1944. It's a part of the United Nations. It was originally focused on post-war reconstruction in Europe. So, right? You're looking for a renaissance. This is... Who didn't want to rebuild Europe? Europe was flattened and burned to the ground. We had to help rebuild, so we started the World Bank, and everybody was so good. And then it was taken over by a bunch of communist subversives, and now it's destroying the world. And so we really need a renaissance, man. And we don't need a revolution. And I refer you back to the renaissance man I recommended earlier in the show. And I don't recommend any of the others. From John Lennon to Donald Trump to any of them. To Kamala Harris. Okay. And so I think that's it. I think that might be all I have here. The $41 billion... So, well, let's just close with this fact. The $41 billion that may be missing, it could be 41, it could be $410 billion, somewhere in between 40 and 400. It is still not accounted for. And will it be? Well, we're not going to give you an over-under on that because we don't have enough time. All right. That's the Weekly Worldview for this week. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio, and I want to thank you for tuning in. Should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.